بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I'm not as animated as my Persian brother. I'm sure you must have rapped in your days. And you know, I'm a moody person. And I need my tea because I haven't had my cup of tea. So we're going, oh, mashallah. I didn't even know there were people in the back. It's very nice, mashallah. Not for the ones faint at heart. What's the topic? Troubled youth. Parental discretion is advice. Before I start, I welcome my beloved brother, Ahmed Al Imam. He's a very, mashallah, ustad from Ottawa, his Mauritanian brother. Very, very lovely. And just want to let you know that I love him, so inshallah. So I welcome you. I'm such a loving person. They put me in marriage and I was love and marriage. I told them a joke and they didn't get it. I think they were trying to get something serious. I told them you should say to the one you want to love, I love you like a drugstore loves disease. So the young at heart, old at heart. Anyway, before I get to my topic, I think what we need to discuss is the heart itself. One is the strong heart. Islamically, if you look at it, there's three types, and the scholars have actually gone into breaking it up into some more. But three hearts. Even Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah, he discussed the three of them. One is a strong-hearted person, one is weak, and one is actually in between. So what has happened is that the dead heart itself, it does not know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And most of the kuffar, they're like that. They don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Muslims who have gone astray, they don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what happens to them. Secondly, you have a heart that's live, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually infuses love of Allah, and you try to be the best you can. That's the second. Thirdly, where all of us, Allah ta'ala alim what's in people's heart, but most of us actually fall into the third category. One is that you're actually putting something in your heart that livens it, like salah, like dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reading the book of Allah ta'ala, doing a lot of things that actually livens the heart, that makes it grow. Secondly, with that same heart, you literally want to put something in it that kills it. Your rap music, whatever else is it, so it actually kills it. So what happens is, you revive it, then you kill it. You revive it, then you kill it. And therefore we have this depression. Because the soul has tasted the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once you take that soul away from loving Allah, or remembering Allah, and as soon as it actually reacts with something that is not conducive to the faith, then it becomes depressed. That's why we have depression. People, the believers actually don't become depressed. But we have depression because we stray away from it. I did not read the book of Allah Ta'ala yesterday, I felt extremely depressed. And I got up in the morning for Fajr, and you know, the brother, he kept phoning me, and he was a brother downstairs. He pretended he didn't know that he was a brother. Hello sir. I said, yes sir. So he phoned me at Fajr, he said, I just wanted to phone you the second time that you're up. I said, thank you brother. He said, well, you're welcome brother. Because he didn't want to say brother in front because he's working at Holiday Inn. We shouldn't feel shy of doing that. I have no problem saying salam and talk, but if I see somebody shy, then I just also try to pretend that I'm not a Muslim. Yes, brother. Oh, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Have a nice day, sir. My towels will be there. Yes, sir. Okay. So you have this heart that we need to actually, so when it reacts with something that is actually killed, it becomes depressed. So the soul becomes depressed. And therefore the problem of the youth actually starts taking place. Now, there's a very, very nice statement by Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. He said, Allah be glorified, and he wept. And he wept, and he cried after making hamd to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said, "You have remembered your Lord, O Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu, after the onset of decrepitude," meaning decline. Decrepitude and decline. "You have remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala," even though the Sahaba, he definitely has remembered Allah ta'ala in his life. But he said, "You have remembered Allah at this old age. Would that you have done while you were brought of youth," meaning when you were in this spikiness of youth, "would you have done that when you were youth, was fresh and vibrant?" And he wept more loudly after that. And still said, he said, "Oh Allah, Ya Rabbi, have mercy on this sinful old man with a hard heart. Have mercy on a sinful old man with a hard heart. Ya Allah, overlook my stumblings and forgive my lapses. And you are the clement, the one who relents towards him who has set his hopes in none save you, and he has trusted in you alone." Look at the adab of even making dua. And this is the companion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So how about us, the youth? I'm going to get into problems because it said discuss the problems. But we keep discussing the problems, but there's no solution. I will tell you what the problem is. We'll discuss cigarette, we'll discuss marijuana, drinking, and this is what the problem is. And there's no point in discussing that. But we want to get, what we want to get from this session today is some real benefit. And inshallah, alhamdulillah, today about 15 of us, mostly sisters, a few little brothers, joined the Sharia program with the Mufti Mulan. He teaches Nahu and Sarf. Very, very important to know that, because we were talking about taqwa. And I was given time, and in the morning I need time, so alhamdulillah, the other speaker wasn't here. Actually, not, I shouldn't say alhamdulillah, but mashallah. So they joined up today. So this is what we want to do today also. We want to do something that is, you know, I always like to see change, something change. I go to my Jum'ah and said, "Oh my goodness, the sister is going to the food bank, we need money. Boop, 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 boop. How much we need? $1,500, here you go, okay. Give the sister, set her up, give 3 months rent, we check this, this." I like to see tack, 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 work like this. So today, inshallah, we want to give that today. We don't want to go out in empty words, inshallah. Now, this was Muawiyah radiallahu anhu's plea. Umar bin Abdul Aziz says, Don't you see that each day by morning and by night you prepare a traveler?" Look at his understanding. That you prepare a traveler. Who is this traveler? This is me and you. Somebody who has died. You will prepare a traveler to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, setting him in the crevice of the earth. Now a crevice is a little crack. And this is what the earth is. A small crack. So you set him in the crack, in the crevice of the earth. And then Umar bin Abdul Aziz, he said, "Who has then taken dust for his pillow?" Who has taken dust for his pillow? Meaning your pillow will be the dust in the grave itself. "And left his loved ones behind and put himself apart from the means of subsistence." Meaning you have cut off everything, and your dust is that pillow that you want. Sometimes we want our pillow to be right, but it's going to be that dust soon. So when we get to that point of no cigarettes and no this and no that, and mashallah, Brother Ali, our Iranian cousin, speaks Farsi, Farsi. So we speak the same language. A little disturbance. We always think that the Iranians have an inferior language in terms of Farsi, but that's our Arabians. But anyway, he has said it because these things are happening in all itself. 50% of the juvenile population, mostly now Somalis, because the Somalis have centered there. They're very, very beautiful people. They're people of knowledge and learning. But after the civil war, the whole community has gone kablank. If you see the Somalis from before, there's something else. Something else. But because of civil war, that's why war is never good. Especially civil war, anarchy. These things are actually conducive to corruption. 50% of the juvenile there are Muslims. So you would have maybe the Somalis, most of them, and then some Arabs, and then some Pakistanis. And you go to more predominantly Pakistani cities, then you'll have 50% Pakistanis. But we don't have to be in there. That's the point. So we, inshallah, will deal with that. And we need to actually make a change. that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not change the condition of the people until they change their own condition. And we keep quoting that verse all the time in the Jum'ah, everywhere. But what is the meaning of change itself? Change means to alter. That you alter something, that there is an alteration of thought process. And you become different. Your circumstances become different. So you don't just change out of the blue, you try to change for the betterment. Try to change for the betterment. So today we want to change. It's a metamorphosis. So your plight has to have a metamorphosis. So you have this plight that is depressed, dejected, depressed. What do you do to that? So if it's depressed, you need to get out of that and start flying. So when your plight is actually one of depression, and one of waywardness and backwardness, then you need to actually change that. So that needs to be a metamorphosis, you need to change that. You need to actually shape and modify where you're going. Because this is what you have to do. How do I become a good Muslim? I don't know. But I would like to be a good Muslim. What does it mean to be a good Muslim? I don't know. Well, you can't do anything without the book of Allah Ta'ala. You cannot do anything without it. You cannot do anything without the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So how about that's a good place to start? That's a good place to start. We're looking at self-help books, this book, that book, I don't know, whatever. There's no problem in reading books. We even in our stall we have books that are some non-Muslims have written. So we want to know what they have to say. It's a good thing. But at the same time, if we cannot solve our problems in getting to the book of Allah, then there's no solving. There's no solving. So we're just talking empty. One of the brothers said, inshallah you don't know who he is, well, I want to get married. I have this girl that I know, what should I do? I said, get married. But I want to wait a while. Should I have any contact with her? I said, well, you have no contact because you're going to fall into haram. What should I do? You have to get married. Oh, that's difficult for me. But you want to have contact at the same time. The reason why I'm giving you that example, and there's many examples like that, because we want to talk the talk but never walk the walk. It's very easy to talk, I'm Muslim, and it doesn't fit the role. So what we have to do is change our state and reform. How do you reform the heart? How do you reform the self? How do you actually reform is by doing the right thing. You keep falling, you get up and do the right thing. You keep falling, you get up and do the right thing. This is the only way we're going to go ahead. By kindness to the brothers, by helping each other, by doing these right things. We discussed so many attributes of taqwa. We discussed Imam Ali radiallahu anhu today. How many points? How many points were there that we discussed? Who was here this morning? Okay. Close to 40, there's more than that. I just split it up. That's my point. But at the same time, that's what we need to do. Check. We need to check ourselves. Points. Those points were great. People of taqwa, I think we should have had it today. Here. So many people are here. Taqwa. How to inculcate it. Not just wear it. It's nice to wear it. But how to live it. How to actually inculcate it into your system. So we need to replace our old model that we have. We need to replace the Ford with the Toyota. Ford is a junk. If you actually go backwards, Muslims are always buying Ford. What's wrong with you? Why do you have to just boycott it? As the car is no good. Same with the Chevrolet. It's no good. If you just even boycott just that, we'll make our statement. Buy a Toyota. If you have 50, you'll buy a Toyota. They're meant to break. You know Ford, it says, found on the road dead. So I asked one of the guys who were actually towing the car. I said, do you always see a Chrysler? Because my friend's Ford was broken down. I said, do you see a Chrysler and Ford always broken? He said, said, yes. I said, how about this? I told him, found on the road dead. He said, look, if you go backwards, meaning you spell Ford backwards, he said, driver returns on foot. I just bought a Ford. There goes another sucker. So we need to exchange and replace the status quo. Transform, inshallah. We should become conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَسْأَلُكَ خَشْيَتِكَ فِي الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ.
Just this day, you don't even have to go further than that. That, oh Allah, I ask you of your khushu, I ask of khushu, I ask of submissiveness, I ask of humility. And this is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I ask you of that, in what? In my privacy and in the open. And that's the believer, private and open. And most of us in private, we're corrupted. Corrupted. Openly we can, some of our corruption showing, but not too much. We can hide it, but it's a very plastic form. And cracks under pressure. So we need to actually change that, brothers and sisters. That was the good side. Now, we have to become righteous people, but not self-righteous. You want to change? You have to become righteous people. You cannot become self-centered. One guy said he's walking around. Let me use these words that they keep throwing. I am a Sufi. So why are you walking with so much arrogance? Aren't you supposed to be humble? I'm a Salafi. The Salaf were very humble. Why are you so arrogant? Why don't we just say we are Muslims and we're trying to adhere to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger? Now everyone is backbiting and hitting each other. I'm going to expose that masjid, that's a Wahhabi masjid. Oh, I'm going to expose that masjid, that's a Sufi tariqah. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, if you see your brother's kids who are actually in suffering and dying, you would never call them these names. But because we have so much time to play with, so much time, and you have hard-hearted people amongst all of the sects, all of them, Sufis, Salafi, Khalafi, everyone you see, hard-heartedness. I've had some very nice people from all, and I actually judge everyone according to what they know, according to the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was one very nice chef, he was from Saudiya, Chef Muhammad al-Ghamdi, and he had a very long beard. I think I said that before, very long beard. So I remember one of the old stories that the Shaykh was disturbed. He was disturbed because one of his students asked, and this was an old story, he said, Shaykh, when you sleep at night, what do you do with your beard? Is it over the blanket or under the blanket? So the Shaykh, he went to sleep that night and he couldn't figure out what he did with his beard, so he couldn't sleep the whole night. So when I saw the Shaykh, he's such a lovely Shaykh, you know. Very, very humble, very good. You know, he was wanting to make da'wah. We had 80 shahada in one little room long time ago. So he was so excited, he went to the window and got one guy, Mr. Rapper, who was playing ball. He said, I want to tell you about Islam. It doesn't work like that. No, I want to communicate, that's it. It doesn't work like that. And the guy said, what do you say, man? Come in, I will tell you about Islam. Have some cups or whatever. So the problem is, when I saw him at the chair, when you sleep at night, is your blanket over or under? He said, yeah, I never really thought about that. So you can have very nice people from all backgrounds and who actually understand the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't have this problem. When you have this problem of people of lack of knowledge and hard-heartedness, so you can call yourself anything you want, but if your heart is hard, if you don't have knowledge, then you become people of just badgering each other, he's kafir, he's this, he's that, he's this. And we need to stop that because there's major problems out there. We need to deal with the youth. I told one brother, I said, Akhi, are you drunk? He was fighting over a very small thing that would not invalidate anything. I said, Akhi, have you drinking some wine or something? He said, A'udhu billah, how can you tell me that? I said, Akhi, because you're talking nonsense. Because the kids are actually going downtown, they're doing all these things. Some of us have AIDS. Muslim kids have AIDS. Sisters have pregnancy that they want to abort because the father would not allow and she would be excommunicated. Won't allow. All, you name it the story, I'm not trying to make it graphic, but there's much worse than that. And it's happening, so we need to actually change. So not become self-centered and bragging. We have to become devout. Not just devout for ourselves, for our movies, hobbies, jobs, studies. We need to become devout human beings. That you care for your neighbor. I told my neighbor that, you know, I'll be going for a little while, I won't be here. And you know, she was in distress. She said, where are you going to go? I said, you remember when I first moved, you thought I was Osama bin Laden's cousin. She said, oh, that was just the perception I had. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. That Allah is one with the ones who have taqwa. مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Meaning, He is with the people of taqwa.
And he is with the people of Muhsinun, people of Ihsan, people who do good to others. Not just talking Islam. Talking Islam is very easy, but doing good and having love and having actually adoration for one another, it's wonderful. It's really wonderful, and this is how you need to change. Now, taqwa itself, for most of you that were here, we discussed it, we said it comes from the word wiqaya, yaqi, meaning to shield, to preserve, all those names that came with it. And I told you that something you just say, fear of Allah, fear of Allah, this is incorrect. It has one component of fear, which is not a negative fear, it is not actually positivity, that actually you bring yourself to do the right thing. So you need to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you need to have this defense for the kufr that's actually bombarding you. Now, brothers and sisters, let us look at our condition. You and I, as a youth group, and the mothers and fathers and the older brothers and sisters need to actually listen to that. First and foremost, smoking. Over 400 chemicals in one cigarette. One drop of nicotine on your tongue will kill you. One pure drop will kill you. And that's how serious it is. Short-term health effects, you have respiratory problems. They had a cardiac center, and they had, by the cardiac center, they used to actually have a lot of smoking around the buildings. When they cut the smoking out, the heart rate, and they did the study for 2 years, dropped 40%. 40%. Heart attack problems dropped 40%. As soon as they had legislation to open that again, it went straight back up to the level it was. So not only smoking is injurious, but the secondhand smoke is just as bad as smoking itself. And sometimes they even say it's even worse, so you're getting both ends of the treatment. It is actually a risk for other drug use. As soon as you put that in front of your mouth, it's just not the cigarette itself. It's the concept, you see, the concept. One of the brothers was saying, oh, the Chinese. Said the Chinese, if they come over, there'll be nobody left. I said, what a statement is that, brother? Oh, there's so many of them, brother. I said, don't worry. He said, oh, okay, how about this? If they come over, no white people will be left. I said, you don't understand. It is the ideology. When they come over, usually Chinese, you know, when they do Kung Fu and the old ones, they're very, very fit. They eat good food. They're very strong. A little guy like this wipes half the room here. Believe me, and they can do it. I've seen it with my eyes. But now what's happened when they come over here, they're eating the same McDonald's, eating the same processed food. Everything is processed. I asked one of the brothers in Hajj, I said, Akhi, what are you eating? What is this? All processed food. Muzdalifa, all processed. Everything was processed. I told the brothers, look, read the ingredients. Processed. Everything was processed food. So this is the problem that is coming to. Now, where was I? You guys are sleeping. Where was I?
About Chinese.
Chinese, that's right. I forgot myself. So the problem is coming back to the realization that it's not the Chinese that will take over, or this one or that one. It is a system. So when the Chinese even come to the system, they're playing the Xbox, they're not going for math competitions. They're doing the same thing, they're eating processed stuff, so you've got big Chinese now. Same Chinese looking, but they have that ideology. So once you put the cigarette to your mouth, it is the character building effect. So from this cigarette, from all the chemicals, actually what goes into your system, it's laced with tar and nicotine. And laced with so many things. The road that you drive on, paint thinner, arsenic, you know, rat poison, formaldehyde, you name it, it's in there. So when this gets laced with small little fibers, you go, oh cool man, that's why you end up coughing for the first few times when you do it. It goes into your system and gets embedded into your lungs. One of the guys just recently, he used to have always a lung x-ray. And they say mostly within 20 years, it should kill you. You're lucky if it goes beyond that. So he used to keep taking x-rays. And he said, oh, you're fine, sir, you're fine. He said, next week I went there, I had lung cancer, and he said it's permanent. Why? Because it embeds itself into the system. So the flavor goes through your system, so the patch will not work. The only thing was that was allowed into Iraq, may Allah save it, is Philip Morris's cigarette packages. Toilet paper wasn't allowed, tin foil wasn't allowed, pencils weren't allowed, dual purpose. What are you going to do, jab somebody to death with a pencil?
So none of these things though
could be used for military means.
Tinfoil, what are you going to do? Cause a fire, I'm going to get you. What a ridiculous thing. So those things weren't allowed, but Philip Morris was going straight by. And they can spend their billions of dollars because they've made trillions. So there's no problem for them. Lawsuits, they just jam it in courts, and they make another few trillion on top of interest, and they'll keep going. So what the Muslims have to do is totally boycott and help the actually groups that are doing it, so you help your own teenagers. Why? And also the other adults, because when they see the kuffar saying smoking is not cool, then they say, okay, smoking is not cool. Because it comes from uncle and auntie, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. So smoking is a big, big, major problem. Teens who smoke lightly, smoke even on a light basis, two or three a day or something, they're most likely to see doctors for emotional and psychological distress. And that's what's happened. And because it changes, it alters the whole human system. So many chemicals. Have you imagined that? Muslims running for the fire? So what you need to do now, take this information and go and tell somebody who's smoking. One brother stopped smoking. I gave him everything. I used everything in the book. I used nicotine. You know, brother, there's a picture of a dead body in formaldehyde. That's what they put in the tar. He wasn't getting anything. And I told him one day, I said, you know what? You're working in this big job here. You're making good money. And you have a daughter. And she's going to say, well, my dad died because he wouldn't stop smoking. And he quit after that. I didn't know. I was coming with more material the next day. I've quit for the last 6 months. That was so great. MashaAllah. So we have to actually see where we can, and how smoking affects is that actually from smoking itself, as I was saying, it's a physical alteration of the human psyche. Physical and psychological. Once you have that, they say you're more likely to smoke marijuana after that, and more likely to drink also. So the youth are drinking there, and believe me, the youth are drinking. They're drinking, they have drinking problems. That's why the brothers who are older and giving lectures and so on and so forth, they need to take their head out of the sand, stop fighting with each other, and look at the real issues. Our sisters are downtown, so what if she sat in the masjid? So what? You know, so what? Bring them, give them da'wah, and try to get the best situation going. Otherwise we're not going to do anything. What are we going to do, you and I, what are we going to do? Sit here and listen and that's it at the end. But we need to change, we need to take decisions that actually alter our psyche and actually makes our Islamic personality a better one. We're not doing anything that makes it better, we do everything that kills the heart, as I stated before. So the heart keeps dying. So marijuana comes into play, and what's marijuana? It's cool. Do I have, what, 3 minutes? Okay, man. Okay, 5 minutes, mashallah, a lot more time. So the problem of cigarettes there, and you know, I can go on, there's alcohol, drinking, I haven't really not touched my topic yet. But I will, in 5 minutes, what I will tell you is that if you love Islam, show me. Show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you really love the deen, show Allah ta'ala that you love the deen. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَاهِرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. That this hadith, they use it for fiqh. But actually, if you really look at it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُذْ, meaning take from them sadaqah, take from them charity, to clean them, and to increase them. تُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. Zakah itself means integrity. Za and ka means integrity. But if you put a ta marbuta, it also means poor due, meaning our zakat that we pay. Zakatul mal. So be very, very, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, take from them sadaqah to what? To purify them and to increase them. So you need to increase. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always talks about increasing of the people. How do we have clean hearts? Step number one is to come to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If your whole life you are finding excuses, just excuses, one after another, just excuses. I remember one of your students, Chef, Mahmoud, Somali brother, very lovely, very, very lovely. Drove me crazy in Hajj, but how I loved him. And You know, he said that, you know, the shaykh, he sits there waiting for them to come, and he's there before time, and sometimes they don't come, and he's very patient with them. If it was me, I would take a chair and really hit it on their head. That's why he is who he is. So, the problem is that we need to come there. When I used to teach, I'm not going to tell you what, but some of the courses, if they don't come on time, I get really irritated. I sit there just walking, pacing back and forth, and after a few weeks, they never come late. Or they don't come at all. The door is shut, and serious, notepad, all these things. But some of the other brothers who are teaching, they're very nice, and they're very humble. And they're very kind, and we actually take advantage of that. So we have to be careful. Come to the Book of Allah, come on time, get there, get a sister and say, listen sister, I don't know how to pronounce, please you need to help me right away. You should really find a sister who's good in Makharij al-Huruf, meaning that she can pronounce the letters well. Find her, and sisters, go to her and study. Brothers, the same thing, you find the brother, you go and study. In Ottawa, you have this, you have many other ustad, you go and find and you study. This is the first way. So you want to change from smoking and all this? What's the alternative? Come to the Book of Allah. I cannot tell you, brothers, don't smoke, it's haram, but what's the alternative? Because in order for a lasting change to take place, you need to change the foundation. Our foundation is crooked, and then we build a house. If you build a house, a brick house on a platform that's made out of straw, it cannot last too long, it will crumble. So you come to the Book of Allah. The most frequent cries of the people of Jahannam is, woe to me! I should have! Woe to us! According to the Book of Allah. So, stated to the for the unfortunate procrastinator is unaware that he includes himself to postpone something today which he could have done tomorrow, and that it will, with the passage of time, grow in strength and firmness. He thinks it is conceivable that a man, woman, here in Islamic terminology we don't have this problem, that the human being, that the man who plunges into the world and pays it, he might have time to spare. I have time to spare. So what folly, what nonsense. No one has time to spare, save that who is actually putting time aside for that. No man has had his needs fulfilled therein. One desire only ends into the next. So understand that. And I end with this. One desire, what time is that, right? Okay. One desire ends into the next. So if it's the cigarette, end into the marijuana. If it's a girlfriend, boyfriend, end into abortions. One desire ends into the next, never stops. So in order to stop this deadly train from crashing, you need to change platforms. And you need to have the rail that's solid. The only thing that's solid is the deen of Allah. Whatever they do, wallahi, every single thing in this deen, one sentence, is a cure for humanity. The only reason they don't take it is because the system is built like that. The powers to be, they don't want that. But so many things in Islam, just one sentence can cure so many problems of society. They will take it because Allah says, لِيُذَرَوْ عَلَىٰ دِينِ كُلِّ, that it will supersede all walks of life. So they will take it because they will not know how to avoid it. So when the political situation is too strong, they will say, yes, this is the solution. And they know that. Kennedy himself, Reagan, they took from Ibn Khaldun their economic policies. Didn't even mention who did they take from. But they took it, it's in their memoirs and they've written about it. But no, nobody knows about those things. So brothers and sisters, inshallah, I urge you to do the right thing, inshallah. Inshallah, we can do it. Any group that gets together for khair, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah. And believe me, you'll never lose with that, inshallah. May Allah forgive me, inshallah. So inshallah, I leave you with that. May Allah bless you and guide you. Do we have a question and answer, or are we done? We have a question and answer. And brother Ali is going to give you some question and answer. Sorry for that, for I never asked before. The least you can do is just try to help them in any way and try to connect at that time. But it's too late sometimes. Way too late when they start doing this thing. Because of the mother's voice, she's doing whatever she's doing, leaving the TV on. The father is doing whatever he's doing. One guy, he said, I won't tell you which town.
He said, I hate my father and I wish my father was dead. I hate my father and I wish that he was dead. He wrote an email to his father. He's a 13, 14 year old boy. They know him. And he's a good kid. But the reason why is the father used to give him the TV, give him all these things, so his grades started to slip. So the grade is paramount for the Arab culture. Oh, you did not pass. You did not get an A, so the kid said, no, because how can a father expect that? You give him all that and then you want his grades to be tough. So he cut out the TV for him, and then when I asked the kids, because the brothers are bombarding, how could you write this to your father, this is so wrong, and this is so wrong, and why did you do this? I just asked him, I said, where is your father, son? He said, he's never home. He's never home. I said, does he spend any time with you? No. Does he give you stuff? Yeah, he gives me stuff. I said, any time he spends with you? No time. No time. He said, I hate him. I said, how about your mother? He said, well, I said, do you spend any time with your mother? She said, no, I don't spend any time. I said, what do you do when you go after school? She said, I go straight to my room and I usually watch TV, and now they've taken that away from me. So I just have the computer. I said, just the computer? So that's what happens when they start doing drugs and so on and so forth, because we've left them. We've given them over to the schooling system, so it's totally somebody not related to you, don't know what kind of person they are. I remember I went to the high school to talk. My father-in-law, Sheikh Jamal, he always likes me to go and do those things, and I'm not a very flowery person sometimes, but I'm trying to be, trying to fit them all, but I'm not. So I don't like to go. Islam is, from Sin Lam Mim, you get peace. And then Islam is a religion of peace. Bed of flowers. And so on and so forth. It's not a problem, you can do that. But the problem is that he always sends me to go to do that. And this time I had time. 75 minutes each. Walked into the high school. I saw here a boy and a girl together, a boy and a girl together. I said, Alhamdulillah. And this is supposed to be a conservative high school. I grew up in the hood. So it used to be crazy. But we never had those things. So when I walked in, I said, this is a mid-class. What's going on here? So anyway, the girl who was actually came to receive me, she was half naked. So I said, I'll do that. And I said to myself, I wish I didn't come. So anyway, the teacher, he came, he had the black spectacles, you know, like those scary guys, like this. And he said, let me use your word, Melissa. Melissa, you're looking nice today. I could have vomited. I said, I don't think that Melissa, you're looking nice today. But anyway, Allah Ta'ala actually removed her from my side, alhamdulillah. She said, well, I'm sorry, but I had something coming up. I said, oh, no problem, go ahead. So she went that side, I went that side, and I went to explain to the kids. And they had many questions, many, many questions. But the problem is, you have these sick-looking teachers telling your daughters, oh, you look so nice today. And then you leave them there, then you bring somebody else into the house, meaning the television system itself. You have no connection with your children. That's where they go to drugs and drinking and so on and so forth, because there's no connection. So you make that connection, but the connection, you have to change. There needs to be some change. So when there's rot at the bottom, you need to cut it out. And you know, Urdu, how many people know Urdu here? Raise your hand. Oh, mashallah. Jive Pakistan. So, Urdu, you know, they say, well, you know, a lot of words are taken. For example, Jamadat. You know, you want to call somebody Jamadat. Hey, Jamadat is alive. So, Jamadat, I was thinking of the word. I said, where did they get this word Jamadat? Then I said, Jamadat, Jamadat. Usually the ayn is swallowed. So I said, oh, Jam'a. So, jam means to gather, and dar means a house. So usually the jamadar comes to clean the house and put things together. So this is where we got it. So we have origin with Islam. This is the problem where we have disconnection. We need to actually reconnect. Clean out the garbage, clean out everything, put nice soil on top that is not infected, and then you can grow from there. But it has to be. Make connection with your kids. Mothers and fathers who have not done that, you need to do that now. You need to do that now. Sisters, you haven't talked to your mothers for a while, you need to do that. You haven't talked to your father, you need to do that. You need that. It's not cool not to talk to your parents. So, very, very important, inshallah.
Thank you. I don't want to do questions because I don't know anything, but I think I know the answer to this one, so Charlotte, okay. I got a question that says, do you find it difficult to avoid alcohol in the corporate environment? It is kind of hard to avoid. How do you do it without losing connection with your friends? Honestly, we have to have high standards for ourselves, and we got to be straight up. And really, in Canada, they respect that. I grew up part of my life in the U.S., and it's very strong. You got to become, it's like a melting pot. You don't want to be like us? Come on, you got to be like us. Canada is not like that. And they start to respect you when you put your foot down on something. And me and when I got married, I got my wife a job, and I was living in Ottawa at the government. And I said, okay, I just got married, and you know, I really like her. It's too hard for me to go to work. Okay, so I'm gonna take her with me. Right? So I got her a job, and she was sitting right next to me, and it made me gain like 30 pounds because she kept giving me food. But we set the rules, right? And people respect that. And believe it or not, people will not say that would have never swore in front of my wife because they would say she looks like a nun. How could we do anything indecent in front of her? They say that, really. They say that. Right? So. And you put the rules down. And alcohol is really hard to avoid in the corporate environment. Whoever wrote this question is right. Because whenever there's a social function, they have alcohol. Whenever they want to go out, they're like, okay, we got to get rid of stress. What are we going to do? Let's go to the bar. Okay, that's what they do, right? Friday, happy hour. I don't know if you guys are all young. You don't know. But that's what they do. But you put your foot down, and they start to ask you questions. And you explain. And, you know, I ask them. They go, you don't have to drink. Just come with us. Right? You don't have to drink. Just come with us. I won't even go. I'm like, no, I'm not going. I'm like, you guys want to like, go bowling or something? And you go to a pool hall or a bar, I'm not coming. I'm like, straight up. They go, why? They start to ask you questions. And you have an opportunity now. That's an open door for you. Because you don't want to go to work. It's not like school. School, you can go, and you can be like, everybody come, I'm talking about Islam now. That's what we did in college, right? A lot of people, alhamdulillah, became Muslim, right? You get a speaker, go in the area where there's a lot of people, and just start talking about Islam. You can't do that at work. They'll fire you, right? At work, you have to... act the way that they come to you and ask you questions. So this is a perfect opportunity. They want to invite you to go to a bar? No, why don't you want to come? I don't drink. Yeah, but you don't have to drink, just come with us. And then I ask them, I go, would you go out with a bunch of people that are doing cocaine? Right? And they're like, of course not. Well, why not? Because cocaine is like drugs. And I'm like, well, you don't have to do it, just go hang out with them. Yeah, but it's drugs. And I'm like, well, I'll call this drugs for us. It's the same thing, it alters the state of your mind. And then they're like, oh, wow. They never thought of it that way. And people come to me, and believe it or not, you know, like, people send me emails at work, and I'll give one example. It's an Italian kid, right? He's a DJ. He's working there. He's DJ part-time, and he's working there. And he's like, 2 minutes, right? And he's like, he sent me an email, and he goes, look, I feel really dumb to ask you this, but you're the only religious person I know, and my girlfriend just dumped me, and I need you. And he wrote this long email, like, talking about it. I need to talk to God, and I need you just to pray for me and talk to God for me, because I know God doesn't like me because I'm an idiot, right? They say it straight up, they know. And he goes, I believe in God, but I know God doesn't like me. I never go to church, I never do anything, like you know, I do anything I want, I don't care about God, and now I need God, so can you talk to God for me? And bam, what is that? It's an opportunity for doubt. And I'm like, no, man, talk to God yourself here. There's a guy at work, you know, he's an older guy. Like hardcore French, you know. He's a good guy, though. He's a big guy, you know, jolly guy. He's like in his 50s, and it was Christmas time, and he was so sad, right? And I'm the only person he comes to talk to, right? Because he knows everybody else is gonna just joke around and just this and talk about this and that, whatever. And he goes, look, I'm so sad. And I'm like, why? It's your holiday. You should be happy, you know. At least you don't have to come to work. He goes, all my family, my parents are divorced. This guy's 45, 50. I'm divorced twice, and my parents are divorced, and I don't see my sister. And this is the problem here, right? But when you act in a certain way, they'll come to you, and they'll talk to you, and bam, it's an opportunity, right? The next couple of days was his birthday. I went to Chapters. I got the Islam for Dummies. They have a book, right? And I'm not saying, like, yeah, we don't really celebrate, but it's an opportunity for me to give it to him. I'm like, here, his name was Dan. I'm like, here, Dan, he's like, yeah. So he took it, and he read it, and you know, and I gave it to him privately because I didn't want people to see me doing it, right? And then they're gonna, this is what's going on here, converting in the workplace, right? But he put it on his desk, and people came and asked, and he goes, my best friend Ali, he gave me this for my birthday, right? And you start to have an impact on people. And I remember there was a guy I was working, Johnny. This guy passed his Ramadan with me. And this guy is not Muslim. He's like, let's go out to eat. I'm like, no, it's Ramadan, I'm not eating. He's like, what? And I started explaining to him, and he goes, why do you do it? I'm like, because we have to control ourselves, right? So if you say no to food and drinking, you can control your anger, you can do what you want to do, your body doesn't dictate to you. You tell your body what to do. And he goes, wow. And I'm like, you know what? You're fake, you can't even do it. You're a punk, man, you can't do it. You're too weak. And he's like, I'm going to do it. He did it, right? He did it. He fasted, and that was a way for him to understand, right? So that's that, inshallah. I hope it answers the question. And the last part about losing connection with your friends. If your friends want those type of connection, right? If your friends want those, like, if that's a connection, then they're not worth being your friends. Last thing, we got these, you know, back in the days when I was in LA, we used to go on the walls with the spray can, and then when the cops come to you, that's bad, don't do that, right? These guys, they did it for real, right? It's nice, they put it on a shirt, right? Here in Toronto, inshallah, we'll have a Mina Montreal, right? We'll take t-shirts, right? They're $8, and then there's other ones colored for $10, they're raising money. Get the t-shirts, they're hype. Graffiti style, you know? And just don't do it on the wall, do it on the ship.